Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. My guest today, Alexia Anastasio, filmmaker and artist. We have a lot of really interesting things to talk about, so thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back with Alexia. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live. I'm here with Alexia. Welcome, Alexia. So happy you're here today.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
I first met Alexia and her friend Kevin Shawn Michaels because I loved their film that they did on Vampiro. And we have a lot of Ed Wood fans that like this show. In fact, we have a guy that made a film on Ed Wood that will be on here in a couple weeks. You got to hang out with Vampire, didn't you, hang out in her apartment and, like, share drawings and stuff, huh?
I did, yeah. That was quite cool.
Yeah, tell us about that. That must have been awesome.
Yeah, I'm definitely grateful that I got to meet her when she was still alive. I just went over. This was after I edited the film, because I was the editor in the film, and I got to go over and just kind of have an afternoon like you would with
wow.
a grandmother. Sort of thing, yeah.
Wow, and she was very, very intelligent, wasn't she?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But kind of reclusive, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't doing signings at that time. Definitely
yeah.
not.
I love the film that you and Kevin did on her. It was awesome. And then the next thing I saw that you guys did together was on Ted Michaels.
Yeah, I was the associate producer on that. So
yeah.
Neither of those projects were my idea, but mm-hmm. so I just came on board to help.
Yeah, yeah. And Kevin directed those two, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll be talking to Kevin next week, next Tuesday, I think he's going to be on the show. One thing on the Ted Michaels thing, I think it was on the DVD extras, there was a thing where you were, he was kind of directing you to do this shooting in the camera technique. Do you remember that? That was really interesting.
Yeah, that was fun. And I also got to work with, Mizumi Max was in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Horrorfest at the time, too.
Yeah. For the filmmakers that listen to this show, Ted Michaels, if they don't know him, well, I guess you could tell them about him. He's like the ultimate gorilla, crank them out. I mean, he's probably done, over 100 films or something.
Yeah,
huh?
Grindhouse filmmaker. Yeah.
And is he still in Vegas? Do you
yeah,
guys
he's going to be 85 soon. He's still making movies.
Yeah. Well, what Alexia did was this technique of cutting in camera where Ted Michaels would say, for example, get the master shot. Alexia would shoot it, and then he'd say, freeze, I heard something. The actors would just keep their position. Okay, move over and get the close-up. And you were just kind of bouncing around getting coverage of basically where all you had to do if you were editing this thing would be just take the pauses out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, So I was the actor in that scene. Mm. I was one of the actors in that scene, so that was fun to be a part of that. And Ted's, you can learn a lot from Ted. He's been in the business forever. Every time I get to work on another project, I'm learning so much.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like a great way to get coverage for a guerrilla filmmaker to just do that. I was watching you do that, and I was wondering if it could hurt the actor's sense of flow, not, just having it freeze, shoot, but it got such great coverage. It's a really great technique, but do you think it could hinder the actors possibly, or do you think they can work around it, a good actor, and go with it?
Yeah, a professional actor can work around it. Yeah. Actually, I had that same exercise as when my first projects when I was going to school at City Purchase. So I had to do that for my first class, before I even learned how to edit. They're like, okay, edit something in camera.
Mm.
I wish I still had that little film that I did.
Oh, you don't have
Unfortunately,
it.
Unfortunately, I taped over it back when, I was using tape.
Wow. So just catching up some background, too, then I think you and Kevin were involved together on the David Lynch film too, right?
We were both co-producers on that project, and the director was Dana Farley, who we mentored this young filmmaker, and how it's about her journey learning transcendental meditation and how it helped her, and we got David Lynch as To be featured in the film and to be a mentor of hers as well.
Wow. I really enjoyed that film, and David has really taught us so much about the relationship of meditation and the creative process. The whole thing of the fish, catching the fish and going inside. And has meditation, I know meditation is something you do for the spiritual connection and benefits, so it's not like, you know, David selling it like, hey, be a great artist by meditating, but it is like certainly a benefit because we're running around with cell phones and technology and going nuts and so manic, and so to slow down, as an artist, is that part of your process to take that time and meditate?
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. Twice a day. It's really helped me finish my first film, Adventures in Platoons, and every... You know, many times when I meditate, I finally have the idea of even, like, the subject line of my newsletter that I'm going to send out or a video update. Oh, I'm going to, you know, I had this idea for a video update that I did with my friends last week at Starbucks where we read out D.H. Lawrence's poem. Uh-huh. So I often have that. And also it's an energy boost for me.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I meditate, especially the second time in the afternoon, I have another 5 hours. You know, where normally I'd be, like, totally dead because I'm doing so much.
Mm.
So energy, focus, you know, clarity on my goals and my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I get so much. I get so much.
You do it in the morning for 20 minutes and then afternoon or evening for 20 minutes?
Yeah, before evening activities, yeah.
Yeah. That's such a powerful, powerful thing. Man, it's just really changed my life to meditate on a regular basis. So David's such an inspiring guy. That must have been what a process to do. And you mentioned your first film. Tell us about Adventures in Plimtoons. It's a documentary about Oscar-nominated animator. And you're by the way, you draw yourself.
I do.
You do art yourself.
Yeah.
So was that part of your interest in that kind of a subject, you think?
Definitely, definitely. I did a short film before this on a Parisian artist named Beatrice Valentine Emerine. And when I was looking for a feature project, he came back into, you know, my view, and I'm like, oh, he'd be perfect for my first feature. And so I saw his master class finally, and I was bumping into him on a regular basis at film parties in New York and film festivals at Cannes and Sundance and all this. So I realized actually cleaning a couple of years ago that I had multiple cards and business cards and postcards from bumping into Comic-Con and all these places. So,
you were meant to cross paths.
Yeah, right? And so it wasn't really my idea that I did a whole documentary. Yeah. It was the universe's. I ended up doing the documentary. And for me, I really want to have my friends that I went to school with be inspired, and people who are artists, that they can have a full-time job as and live off their art.
That's so important. And I get both themes from you, you create your own art, but you also have a heart to inspire other people and encourage other people's creativity, which is so – I think those are probably the two best things a person can do on God's green earth is create their own work, do their own passion, but also encourage others. And I remember you're starting to do some things to help others with, like, crowdfunding, right? You're trying to encourage others to go for their dreams.
Yeah, yeah. I started doing this group coaching class online, and it's been so fulfilling, really. Like, I love hearing the success stories after just the advice that I give because of what I've done. You know, because I've done this so many times, it's like, okay, I have to put together a pitch. I have to, you know, email my friends. I have to contact, you know, like all these little things that you have to put together even. It's kind of like second nature. Okay, like, you know, attaching a document to, remember when you're like, oh yeah, how do you attach a document to an email? I taught my mom, I don't know how many times, to do that. And then she knew. She wasn't asking me anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I've done it so many times, yet each time it's brand new.
Mm.
It's brand new. And you have to overcome the stress, the obstacles. It's a whole other process. So that stress, I think, is the hardest part about crowdfunding.
Mm.
It's not the actual project. The quality is there. The talent is there. The passion is there, you know. But the marketing and the stress is always the big obstacle. So if I can help other people go through what I've survived, you know, can live to say that I survived, then, I get a tremendous emotional fulfillment out of that, yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you for encouraging others. And if you're listening, I know some of you listen that write me have liked my book on Create Your Life, the Meditations of Creativity, and so you send me a lot of these kind of questions like, I have a passion project, how do I raise money? So Alexia now is doing classes to coach people in crowdfunding. Is your website, alexiaanastasio.com, the best place? And probably we should spell it. Anastasio is Italian for, and I think also in the Greek language, for resurrection. It's really a very spiritual name. But I think we might stumble on the spelling. So do you want to spell it, or should I?
Sure,
or why don't you spell it for them?
So Alexia, A-L-E-X-I-A, Anastasio, A-N-A-S-T-A-S-I-O.com.
AlexiaAnastasio.com.
And I always give my first consultation is always free. So
a
15-minute, sometimes it goes longer. I'm totally okay with that. First one's free, so feel free to email me.
Okay, great. Gotcha. And her website is on this link if you're listening to this live or after the fact. Her website is right there below. Now, the Adventures in Plimtoons is now on Hulu, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can watch it free there?
Yes.
Wow.
My favorite word, free.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for making it available free for us to watch there. It's been, it's had some awards. It's been in some film fests.
Yeah.
Where are some of the places it's shown?
Yeah, we played over 40 film festivals. So we premiered at the biggest animation festival in Annecy, France.
Mm.
And one of my favorite film festivals that we played was actually a Flyway Film Festival in Pepin and Stockholm, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
I loved that festival because of the community that came out for that.
Uh-huh.
Also the time that they gave to the filmmakers to talk to each other in a round circle. We also got a marketing distribution workshop 2 days before even the festival started.
Mm.
You know, they really tailor it to the filmmakers and the community. And a lot of times at a lot of festivals, you don't even have time to sit and meet and actually have a deep, create deep relationships with the people that are also at the festival. So that's one of the reasons why, big shout out to the Flyway.
And this film does have its own website as well, adventuresinplimtoons.com.
So if you're not in the U.S., because Hulu is only available in the U.S. for free,
uh-huh.
It's also on Vimeo, so on adventuresinplimtoons.com you can
find all those links
there. Yeah.
Wow. And right now you're speaking of crowdfunding and how you've helped others with crowdfunding. You're doing that yourself for Little Fishes, right? You have 16 days left.
Yep.
Now, you went with Indiegogo. I know Kickstarter is kind of – what are your thoughts on Kickstarter? Because artists that listen ask about this kind of stuff a lot. Kickstarter is kind of an all-or-nothing deal. You either raise your goal or you don't get the money. That's kind of scary, huh?
It's not about – crowdfunding is scary in all ways that you're doing it. You're putting your idea out there and you're telling – everything is transparent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your goals, what you're spending your money on, everything. So you have to be very clear about what you're doing, first of all, and why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
This specific project is very personal to me. It's a narrative film about these three girls who have a reunion and go through the drama and trials and tribulations and especially making mistakes. You can't learn. Sometimes it's not one time to learn something. You have to make mistakes more than once. Before you learn. So, I chose Indiegogo this time, and I'm very happy. I'm very happy with.
And you get to keep whatever comes in with them, at least.
Yeah, I'm also a Fractured Atlas member, so it's also tax deductible.
So that's a nonprofit kind of arts agency, right? So that's really good. That now this film was inspired by a beautiful poem. Tell us about the D.H. Lawrence poem. What drew you to that poem?
Well, it was last year when I was doing the Mumblecore Film Festival, and I was showing all these films that I loved, and I really wanted to do something in the genre, and I was thinking, well, what is it going to be? And I've done something on Salome. I did an all-female version of Salome. And so I did some research, and I found this poem, and I'm going to read it to you.
Oh, great. You have it?
Yes.
Okay.
So, the tiny little fish enjoy themselves in the sea. Quick little splinters of life. Their little lives are fun to them in the sea. And I feel like it's a lot about life mm-hmm. and friendship. And so, and sometimes, you know, yeah, but about the mistakes, you know, fish don't always have, they don't have a quick, they, you know, memories come kind of erased.
Yeah. Supposedly, so, they don't remember things, huh?
Exactly. So they're just kind of going along with the flow, with like, okay, uh-huh. So my priority in life is to have fun. So that's always, okay, what draws me to things. And so if I can do my art, that's a great day.
Mm.
You know, when I'm doing my art, like sometimes like I'll do my art and then like the end of the day I'm like crying in happy tears because I'm like, it's that exhilarating. So that's where I'm kind of going. That's what this whole project is really all about.
Yeah, so if you're listening out there, this is a good chance to make a tax-deductible donation. It's, you know, much better than giving your money to the government. You know, give it to art. And go to Indiegogo.com and search Little Fishes. That would probably be the best way to find it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I made a donation today, and every one of you listening could make a donation. You're giving to something that's, you know, a labor of love, you know. And like the good book says, God is love. So there's nothing more godly or good than giving to artists that are doing a labor of love. And Indiegogo, you know, keeps records of this, as does the nonprofit. What's Fractured?
Fractured Atlas.
So they keep a record of this. So there's rewards for giving at different levels. You know, when you give at different levels, you get different benefits, right?
Yeah. So one of my favorite rewards that I put up for this campaign was $15. You get an original artwork by me in the mail
cool.
in your snail mail box. So.
That's so cool. So you actually mail it to them.
Yeah.
You'll make a drawing and mail it to them. I love that. That's really cool. Now, Ginger Girls is another film. I know I'm kind of an ADD person when I talk to artists because I get so interested in all the things they do that I have a friend that calls me the Grateful Dead interviewer because it's you never know where it's going to flow. The song's different every time. But, you know, Alexia does so many things that you know, just popping off in my head. She's in production now on Ginger Girls. This is a film about redhead girls, right?
Yeah, documentary. Mm-hmm.
And I'm really worried about redhead girls because I was reading a scientist that studies the DNA that I'm sure you've heard this, that they're supposedly dying out, right? I mean, is that a lie or is that true?
It's a myth. It was something that Procter & Gamble spread to sell hair care products.
Really?
And dyeing products, yeah.
The corporations lied to us. Oh, my God. I've been telling redheaded people they need to mate with each other to save the species. This is all a corporate trick.
Yeah, but it's okay because my sister just got married to a ginger guy, and now she's having twins. So
she's doing her part to be fruitful and multiply for the redheads.
Right.
That's awesome. So did you say they had two kids?
She's going to have twin girls.
She's expecting twins.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so, congratulations to her.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, you know, what are you, maybe halfway done shooting? Where do you think you'd gauge you're at?
I'm almost done. We're basically, if anybody else wants to be photographed, it's a documentary, a photo book, and an art show. So if anybody still wants to be in the book, that's basically where we're at now. We're just finishing
You know what? Do you need more redheads?
Yes.
I have a friend of mine. She's one of my biggest supporters of Create Your Life and this show, and she's a beautiful singer-songwriter redhead, Summer Lynn McDowell. So I'm going to
We need music, too. For.
Oh, she's a musician. You'll have a redhead. She could give you some of her redhead music.
That's great, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely original songs. And for Little Fishes, too, we're looking for music that's electronica
or
hipster
okay.
folk.
Electronica, okay, or hipster. Okay. I'm going to send this link to some of my redhead friends making myself a little note here.
Awesome.
Who are some of your favorite redhead people, in, you know, in the world?
Oh, so many. But Julianne Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful actress.
Jessica Chastain.
Uh-huh, yes.
Well, you know, a redhead just passed away, Shirley Temple.
Oh man, I feel so sad about that. You know, they say she almost single-handedly, you know, just emotionally lifted up the country. And during the Depression years, you know, people were jumping out of buildings and, you know, businessmen are selling pencils on the street. And here's this cute little girl with dimples just singing and dancing.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought it was just so funny, you know, because, yeah, thinking back of it, at it, you know, you can kind of talk about actually also the sexualization they did of her and,
yeah,
like, even her wearing diapers and the way the photographs,
so
you're just like, what? And you're like, oh, yeah, like, you're just like, cause for me, like, oh, especially starting out, I knew I wanted to be an actress at 11, so,
mm-hmm,
and I was exposed to her films and my aunt showing me all of the stuff, and I'm like, this is awesome, you know, she was so young when this happened, and,
mm-hmm,
it's not really the norm for anybody. It was such an exception.
Yeah.
And you think back of child stars, it's so rare when those things actually happen.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's interesting, too, because even though the country was, you know, just so scarce of money, the box office you would think would go down, it actually went up, and, you know, in large part thanks to her. And people are, you know, they needed the movies. They needed that escape. And we need art when we're going through hell, don't we?
Yeah, and I think now it's video games. I think people are really, and that, and the internet, really, you know, people want community. And that's what I'm trying to do with Ginger Girls and Little Fishes. Like Ginger Girls, I have a Facebook page. And
where's that at?
It's just Ginger Girls, The Secret Lives of Redheads.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook. And then for Little Fishes, I did an event last year called the Mumblecore Film Festival, and I want to continue with that and go on tour this fall with that and show Little Fishes as well as other Mumblecore films.
Mm.
Now, when I did the event in the past, I did it in Portland at the McMinniman's Mission Theater, and we did it 3 days. We showed 6 films. And we had a number of the directors Skype in after the film. So it was great. And I'd love to do this online at some point as well.
Wow, I can't wait. I mean, all these gorgeous redheads. And, you know, there's a certain, you know, everyone makes these certain stereotypes, you know, do you get that with the redheads? Like fiery, they're fiery, they're passionate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're, I guess, in the minority genetically, I mean, probably, right? I mean, that's probably the least.
There's 2 to 4% of gingers in the world.
Wow. And this film festival, you'll have Ginger Girls and you'll have several other films, and you want to take it on the road. It was in Portland the first time. Do you want to travel with it?
For the Mumblecore Film Festival, I'm going to be traveling with it. And Ginger Girls, I want to also show at universities, but I'm going to be using a website called Tug. So you
mm-hmm.
could basically get on a waiting list, and you can also put together your own event where I would either do a Skype Q&A, or maybe if enough people came, I could come to that city.
Mm, that would be great. This is going to be really fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
What stigma or stereotypes as a redhead yourself was growing up? Did I think anytime anyone's in the minority or different, they can get picked on, you know? Like, I've heard horror stories, you know, of the left-handers back in, say, my parents' generation that got, you know, persecuted, of you're a witch, or was there a downside to being different?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, I think being an artist and being a redhead didn't really help, but middle school, I think, was the worst, where the people on my bus, this is embarrassing, all chanted, a couple of the kids had the whole bus chant, shave your pits, because I wasn't allowed to shave my armpits until, like, I think 8th grade, sort of thing, and they chant, shave your pits, shave your
pits. Oh,
every
I'm ready to cuss now, man.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my God, I want to. Kids are so mean.
Yeah.
Kids are so mean.
Yeah. So.
Wow. And it takes genetically. Does it take both a redheaded father and redheaded mother to make?
Yes and no. The gene has to be in both. You know, sides.
Oh,
but
as long
it doesn't
as
actually.
Sides. Okay.
They don't have to actually be a redhead.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, I think redheaded girls are great. I had a friend of mine, one of my close friends growing up, Jeff, and he only wanted to date redheads. He had this thing about redheads. His brother was my, we wrote songs together, and we were playing somewhere, and we met this redhead that was absolutely gorgeous. It is, like, don't move. Jeff has got to meet you, man. Yeah, because he was, I don't know where his red-haired girl fetish came from, maybe when he, I don't know, but, so you're really, this is exciting because Ginger Girls is almost done.
Yeah.
And that one you used Kickstarter, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so shoot a few more and then you're into post, huh?
Yep.
And you're an editor, so you can be like the one-woman band. You can edit this if you want. Are you going to edit it yourself or have a team of editors?
Yeah, I'm going to have a team for this one. Sometimes... I mean, I work on so many projects. It takes a team. It takes a team to finish my projects. It really does. It's not just one person. So that goes for the editing. That goes for the marketing.
Yeah.
I do take on interns, and I mentor them.
Oh, awesome.
And so even for Little Fishes, I built a team where I'm teaching them how to do a crowdfunding campaign, and it really helps to do it together because otherwise it's just me in my room, you know, not seeing any light for days on end.
Yeah, you can just go in your own world, man.
Yeah, not so fun.
Yeah, I know filmmakers that literally, they don't leave the apartment for about a year, you know, and they just do it all. And editing, you edited, as we said, when I first, the first thing I saw that you and Kevin did was Vampyra, and you were the editor. What's your editing preference? Are you a Final Cut Pro person primarily? Or?
Yes. Yeah,
and what we have some geeks that talk about this stuff. I'll throw them a bone here. Are you a 7 person or a 10 person?
I'm a 7 person.
7 person. Okay, yeah, I edited.
7's a lucky number.
I edited on Final Cut 7, my last film, and man, there's some real wars over these 7 and 10 guys. They're like Republicans and Democrats or something. I mean, they're like really.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen people like literally get in passionate, you know, fights over this. That's kind of wild, isn't it?
I mean, I've tried to use iMovie. I had no idea what to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's the same thing with iPhone versus Android. Like my sister gives me her Galaxy phone, you know, and I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
My mom has the BlackBerry. I'm like, what?
It's so funny because they hand it to you. Oh, just enter your address and information. They assume that you know their whole thing.
I'm like, this is not an iPhone. I'm like, I know iPhones back and forth, but like, it takes some time to jump into any other, you know, platform, no matter what type of it is.
Well, as often happens, talking with interesting artists, I feel like the time just blows by. I always think about the Einstein quote about how time is relative. You know, when you're talking to an interesting person, 30 minutes just feels like 3 minutes. But Alexi Anastasio, am I saying it right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, listen to that prompt. She just said 90 seconds. Okay. They're very gracious to me. I tend to go over time here. But let me get the website in. AlexiaAnastasio.com. Would you spell it again for us?
Yeah, AlexiaAnastasio.com. And I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Oh, would you give all your stuff?
YouTube, all of that.
Okay.
It's all through my website.
It's all on the website. Great. Anastasio means resurrection. And so let's breathe a lot of spiritual life and support into Alexia. Would you all send your positive vibes, your prayers for her finishing this her films, Little Fishes and Ginger Girls? And you can make a donation for Little Fishes at Indiegogo.com. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful time, and I hope you take Alexia's advice. All of you artists out there, and take time to meditate and be still, you know, like the psalmist wrote, be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10, and take that time for yourself and get in touch with God, pull out those little fishes, you know, your own little fishes out of that, you know, that ocean inside of you, you know. You know, launch out into the deep. There's a lot of little fishes inside you if you take time, like Alexia, to meditate. And you'll, like the story of Peter where the nets broke in the Bible, you'll have a lot of little fishes, a lot of creative ideas you can pull out of yourself if you do what Alexia recommends. Well, it's been great talking to you, Alexia. Is there any last words you have for people listening?
It's have fun every day.
Have fun every day. That's great. Every day is a gift. As we were talking earlier with you and Kevin about some of the artists we know that have passed, with quite a few have passed this week. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for listening. And Kevin Shawn Michaels, who I mentioned, who has collaborated with Alexia and was the director of Vampire and some of those other films, will be with us next Tuesday. Do you remember the time?
Two.
Same time. Next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Tune in and... you can listen to Kevin live. I just love talking to great artists like this, and I'm really excited to see these films that are coming out, Little Fishes and Ginger Girls. We'll talk to you next time.